Welcome to another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast with your hosts, Ryan Dangle.
You picked a tie? What are we, in Europe? Soccer?
Ties happen in the NFL, man.
They're called draws, right? Yeah, no, dude, why? Why are we doing... No, absolutely not. All right, well, you got to keep your own record now because I don't have a tie column. I got a win-loss column.
Patrick Sheldon.
I say that because the flashlight emanating and beaming from the steaming pile of as today's game is David Montgomery. He is the flashlight in my pile of poop.
Brendan Chagrou.
So our buddy Brendan, who writes for USA Today, Chagrou? I have always screwed up his last name. Brendan. Brendan.
And Jack Wright.
Sorry, Captain Flo's over there.
I'm not Captain.
So you're not excited, Jack. You're not excited about having Sarah Spain.
Yeah,
on your
wow.
Show, which
just, maybe no, I have the talent. Is that what we found out?
Featuring Cam Ellis.
Once I was like trying to get a happy answer out of him, and I was like, "Hey, man, like, do you take out of these situations? Like, what is it like to know that like you're this beloved that like these videos are going viral?" And he was just like, "I don't do it for that attention." And then he just took the next question, and I was just like, "Okay, like, I'm gonna melt into my seat and never come back here ever again."
And Logan Bradley.
Bears, rich history defensively, a lot of good linebackers. First round draft pick, hell of a player, a Bear that is going to go down in history. Nobody's going to forget. I am bringing back Shea McClellan.
The Bear Down Chicago podcast. Yeah, we're that Bears podcast.
All right, folks, welcome into another edition of the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Ryan Dangle. If you want to find me on Twitter, it's at Ryan Dangle. That's D-E-N-G-E-L. I think it's, what are we, 9, 10, whatever. There's a lot of losses. But honestly, I'm excited to talk football. I'm excited to talk football with all of you. If you are listening to us, come check us out on YouTube. If you're watching, thank you so much. You miss an episode, you want to go back and listen. We are streaming just about absolutely everywhere. I am so excited. This is a one-on-one conversation. This doesn't happen a lot here on the Bear Down Chicago podcast, but it's going to happen tonight. So I'm going to bring on my co-host, and I'm gonna do, as the kids say, a little glazing this evening. And so I'm just going to talk a lot of really cool things about Brendan Chagrou. Brendan, I think back to the very first time that you and I had a conversation about the Chicago Bears. I was with the Bear Down Report. I think I had maybe 100 followers on Twitter, and you were you. And I said, "Hey, would you come on my podcast, please?" And you said, "Yeah, sure." And we had a phenomenal conversation. We laughed, and I was like, I wanna hang out with this guy. And here we are making the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Brendan Chagrou, find him on Twitter at Brendan Chagrou. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Brendan, how are you, buddy?
I'm good, man. That was almost 4 years ago, dude. It's crazy. And I was not, I didn't have nearly as many followers as I do now. I mean, things kind of, I think, got bigger for both of us in the last 3.5-4 years. So it's been a wild and crazy ride, dude. And unfortunately, during that ride, the Bears have not won pretty much anything, but
they're terrible.
Nine times.
I missed a golden opportunity. I was thinking about it last week. I was like, it's gonna happen. Nine times. Let's already got the chat going. So it's artificial opticality. Sigh is nice. All I have to say. Caleb gives me hope. You know what? Brendan and I were talking before we hit record, and I said this. Some people that watched this, their takeaway of this game was that Caleb can't win, and other people's was he took a really bad sack. If that's your only take from watching this game, you're watching this with hate goggles on. You don't want to watch this kid play football, and I'm not here for it. I'm not listening to that garbage.
One of two sacks, by the way. He only had two sacks. And yeah, like the first one did come at a very inopportune time. But I mean, I was chatting with somebody. I forget who it was. I apologize. But just talking about like where this ranks this game in terms of Caleb's best performances of the season. And I'm not sure if you can put it as number one because the Bears didn't get the win in the end. I think maybe the Jaguars game or the Carolina game could be there as well. The Vikings game, the first one when he led them back to go to overtime was there. But this one was definitely one of his best games of the season. I mean, he took care of the ball. The fumble that happened in the first quarter wasn't on him. Roma Dunze clearly couldn't get the handoff. And you know what? Like, I don't know why we keep trying running plays with wide receivers. I mean, it works sometimes with DJ Moore, but maybe just keep it to that. Like, you know, there were a couple drives where the Bears had momentum early on with Caleb. Turnovers happened, particularly with Adunze, and he did come back and fire and make some big plays, especially with deep shots. Like, this was definitely one of his better games. And if you have that reaction of, well, Caleb clearly couldn't lead them to victory after they already went in like a 20-0 hole or maybe 21-0. I'm sorry. We're watching two different games here because you see, again, I can't remember who it was. I apologize. But somebody tweeted out that Caleb Williams is a unicorn among a sea of donkeys. And that's kind of accurate.
That's spot on. No, I think that pass to Keenan Allen on the right side of the field just drops in the bucket for the tutty. Dude, that was just mwah, chef's kiss. That was gorgeous. It was a beautiful pass. Yeah, he's, as we've well documented, he's not a perfect prospect. But the fact that this kid has 3,271 yards, 19 tutties to simply 5 interceptions is exceptional. Brendan, I have a factoid, and I'm sure you probably already know because you already know all the Bears things that exist in Bearsdom. But I'm going to throw it out here. Maybe some of our awesome people in the chat want to give this one a shot. There are three quarterbacks, opposing quarterbacks, that have posted 2 passing touchdowns against the Detroit Lions this season. Do you know who those 3 quarterbacks are, Brennan?
Yes, one of them is Caleb Williams. Mm-hmm. One of them is Josh Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I should know this. I should know this. You might get me on this. Who did the Lions? I think it's Jordan Love.
Caleb's on there.
There's 2 of them,
baby.
Oh, yeah, that was a trick. That was a trick.
It's the only way I'm going to get you. It's the only way I'm going to get you in Bears trivia, buddy. So I got to trick you up a little bit. So the fact is, you know, and here's the thing. Yes, the Lions defense is beat up. Earlier this week, they had 16 people in IR, but we could talk about the slow starts, them happening, that all that sort of stuff. But this is now 2 games where he's done it, and the Chicago Bears usually have the Detroit Lions number, but that's a different Detroit football team. And I just want to say this just one more time. Caleb is on his second head coach, his third offensive coordinator in one season. Jaden Daniels is going to win the rookie of the year. And I think deservedly so. I don't know if you watched any part of that Philly game, Brendan. Yeah. You know, he led the team in rushing, 5 tutties passing. And I don't know if he had one rushing, but he's been exceptional. Now, granted, he did beat Kenny Pickett and not Jalen Hurts. But anyway, that's beside the point.
Too, but you know, it's whatever.
Exactly. Right. But still 5 tutties. And so I think he is the popular choice to win it. But I'm thinking about this, Brendan, and I'm sorry I'm talking a lot, but I have to get this out before I forget it, is that his head coach is legitimately a candidate for coach of the year, and his offensive coordinator, who still has a job, by the way, will probably be a head coach somewhere else in the league or maybe in college next season. Whereas Caleb, all of his coaches were fired for incompetence, and Thomas Brown probably should be fired, but they got nobody else.
Well, and they also got everybody on the same timeline too, bringing in Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, Jane Daniels, all at the same time. There was a clear vision there once they realized who they were going to pick, when it became obvious that the Bears were going to take Caleb Williams. I mean, yeah, like the perfect situation that we all kept saying, and I say we collectively, I know everybody said it at one point or another during the offseason that the Bears had. Turns out it was pretty much with every other rookie quarterback. I mean, you know, you talk about the Commanders and then look at what the Broncos have done with Bo Nix. And yeah, Bo Nix might have a ceiling, but man, he went to the right coach who knows how to get the most out of him with a much better offensive line, a pretty decent receiving core. Like, it's just everybody's timelines got figured out except for the Bears. So, you know, they have talent on there, but man, this is something I was thinking about today. And I kind of, as we segue a little bit, that Lions team looked like a true team, that was fighting for each other. I mean, I really want to talk about the stumble Ruski play that happened with the pass to Sam LaPorta, because I think there was some phenomenal teamwork in there. But for the Bears, it really feels like at this point in time, everybody's just playing for themselves. And the amount of times I've heard guys like Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, Keenan Allen all talk about putting more stuff on tape and essentially just showing like what they can do personally. That really sucks to hear. And I understand why they feel that way, because they are trying to fight for their jobs, for their next contracts, to justify why they should either remain on the roster or go on somebody else's roster. But to just hear all of your veteran players talk about like, hey, I'm kind of doing this for me. Like, I'm not really doing this for anybody else, or I'm doing my job. Like, I can't control everybody else. Like, that really sucks, because it just shows how selfish and undisciplined this team really is at this point in time. And it really feels like everybody's just sleepwalking to get to the end of the season and to start over.
So Brendan, I totally agree with you. There was one spot where I saw Jalen Johnson make another business decision on the goal line. He had an opportunity and just didn't care about it. And so I am genuinely curious, do you blame this on Eberflus being fired? Do you blame this on Ryan Poles' construction, just the organization as a whole? I mean, I'm sure there's bits and pieces, but if you had to say that it's more this than that, where do you kind of put this lack of any kind of team chemistry or cohesion or just even giving a damn? Like, truly, like, all these players, they were fighting tooth and nail to get Thomas Brown, and then they just lay dead for him. And so I'm curious where you think this is coming from.
It does fall at the feet of Ryan Poles. I mean, he is the one who constructed the roster. These are like primarily his guys, aside from a few. He's the one who constructed the coaching staff and ultimately did make the decision to move off Matt Eberflus. And hey, it was, nobody's saying that wasn't the right decision. It needed to be done. Clearly things were going in the wrong direction. It just turns out that the interim head coach hasn't been able to get them back going in the positive direction again. I mean, he's put together a roster of losers. Like, these guys are losers. They, you know, maybe some of them came from winning programs, but like TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds from the brief time when the Bills were actually good. But I mean, the culture is a losing culture, and you can talk about how guys are, you know, they fight for one another and it's a deep, deep roster, like early on in the off season. And that's been proven to be false on many accounts. I mean, the depth just dried up right away because of other decisions that you made. I mean, I think I was telling you this, and this is also a crazy thing because we talked on Tuesday and it feels like yesterday, but
yeah,
it's kind of like, maybe I already said this, but you know, doubling down on Nate Davis while bringing in Matt Pryor. When you lose Nate Davis because he doesn't want to play anymore, you lose your swing tackle. And then when you lose your swing tackle, you're forced to start a rookie third round pick who's clearly not ready when your left tackle goes out. And now you make that guy inactive because he showed he wasn't great. And then your left tackle potentially gets a serious injury. Now you bring in Larry Borum, who's not that good. And you know, it's just all these things like kind of snowball. So it ultimately does fall at the feet of Ryan Poles for not only constructing a team that did not have as much depth and much star power as we all once thought, but just for bringing in guys who just don't have that winning mentality. I mean, clearly everybody's just sort of doing things for themselves now.
The Kieran Amagaje thing, like, is beyond head scratching. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. He had a bad game. And so what do you do with an offensive lineman that has a bad game? you don't make him inactive. You put him in a situation, maybe it's a spot duty, or maybe, you know what, you do put him out there on the right side or the left side temporarily. I don't even know. And you give him some help. You know what I mean? Like, you literally just, you took this dude right out to the woodshed and be like, all right, here we go, old Yeller, right? Like, this is your confidence. We're putting a gun to it. It's gone. Like, he might be really bad, or maybe he could be something that the Bears could develop. But when you take a player's confidence like that and you give him no shot, like, I mean, I don't know what to do. Like, he was bad last week. No one is arguing that he was bad last week, but just the decision there, just that makes no sense to me whatsoever.
No, well, the whole thing was just handled so poorly, because if you know in like 24 hours that Braxton Jones isn't going to be able to go and you need to make a decision, as bad as Larry Borum has been, you should start Larry Borum. Okay, you didn't do that. You started Karan Amagaji. Everybody knows what happened. He wasn't prepared, and they also didn't do enough to change the game plan to help him out. And knowing 24 hours in advance, that is hard to do. I understand that. But then to essentially just shove him out there, have him writhe in prime time, for everyone to see, and then bring him back and say, okay, you're going to sit down. You're not going to even be active after that. You're right. That probably just shatters a guy's confidence. And in reality, it should have been the opposite. You play Larry Borum. You let him do whatever. If he gets destroyed, he gets destroyed. Borum's most likely not going to be here next year. You at least plan on having Karan Amagaji as part of your offensive line in some capacity. So, and then you bring him in this week as part of you let him get some reps at home against a team without like a ferocious pass rush because they're all injured. And you didn't do it. Now, granted, Larry Borum played fine today, but in terms of the future for Karan Amagaji, it just was handled so, so poorly. And you really got to feel for him because, like, maybe he is, like you said, maybe he's a guy, maybe he's not a guy, but doing stuff like this, you're kind of pointing it in one direction that you don't want to go to.
We had his high school offensive line coach on the podcast, Coach Ryan McHugh. Mm-hmm. He's a friend of the pod. And he's like, hey, give this kid an opportunity. Like, you took his opportunity, like giving him a terrible situation. He didn't perform. We understand that. But like now, like what is this kid supposed to do? Like, I mean, he's relegated to a backup duty for forever. I don't know. Josh J in the comments, how about Poles being hell bent on getting Ryan Bates for whatever reason? They gave up a draft pick for that guy. Like, this is where I really wanted to steer the conversation. And Brendan, if you want to throw in on that, like, by all means, like, go ahead and do so. But I think it's time that we have the Ryan Poles conversation. I have pulled a complete 180. I was all aboard the Ryan Poles train. I was like, this dude is legit. You know, King Poles, like, I wasn't quite there, but I was pretty much leaning in that direction. Like, hey, let's give him an opportunity. I don't want this dude to pick the next head coach because I think he'll screw it up. He's unbelievably bad at talent, like evaluation, like some of the trades that he's made that we first lauded have just looked worse and worse. Free agent signings. I mean, I'm just trying to think about a tight end that wears number 14 that just, what would you say you do here? Right. It's just bad all across the board. Are you bringing Ryan Poles back to hire the Bears' next head coach?
I it's hard to say yes, man. It really is. And it sucks because I know we got into it a little bit a couple weeks ago because I'm of the belief that I want people on the same timelines as much as possible. And that includes the quarterback, that includes the coach and the GM. Just looking at it from that standpoint, I would hate for Caleb Williams to now have a new GM, a new head coach, a new offensive coordinator in year two. It's the nightmare scenario that we all were worried about going into this season. And I think we all thought that Matt Eberflus was definitely on the hot seat. I don't think any of us saw the clamoring for Ryan Poles to be fired like what's happened over the last few weeks. So from that standpoint, I would like him to stay, but at the same time, he hasn't done enough with the roster to show that he's capable of building a winning team. He doesn't win. I mean, we talk about, what we talked about earlier, you know, all of this lies at the feet of Ryan Poles. Two of the longest losing streaks in franchise history have been from Ryan Poles in the last 3 years. Like, that's insane. And I know that the first year, 2022, was a teardown year, but you are essentially in the exact same place that you were then as you are now, with a young quarterback that you think is good enough, and he is showing a lot more than Justin Fields, but at the same time, like, you continue to lose games, and you're becoming less and less competitive in them as the season goes on. You're right. The trades have not been great. The Chase Claypool move was one of the worst trades that is going to go down in the last 20 years, I think, in any sort of capacity. The Montez Sweat trade is average at best. The Ryan Bates trade, I didn't like the Ryan Bates trade when it happened. I thought that was an aggressive move to try and get like a backup offensive lineman. And then when you realize that, well, the plan was hit for him to play center, I'm like, well, that's not much better because he's not a natural center. And I feel like you're just putting Band-Aids on a problem. I know Patrick Sheldon's talked about this a lot, going back to their inability to solve their interior woes. He gets way too aggressive, and he wants to find his guys. Like, and I'll say aggressive, like, he's even wanted to get more aggressive, but we know Ian Cunningham's kind of pulled him back. But a big issue is he wants to get his guys that fit his culture. And you know what? He hasn't found those killers. Like, think about it. Like, you're passing on Jalen Carter for Darnell Wright. Darnell Wright's a fine guy. Jalen Carter's a monster. But you can't have problematic guys, like, who could push the envelope one way or another. Guys like, you know, Velus Jones, he's a nice guy. You want to keep him around. You want to value that draft pick. Like, he wants the guys that fit within his box. And that has not been good enough. And I don't know if he's going to take that leap into next year, knowing that it's a do or die situation, where he's then going to flip the switch and say, okay, I have to actually go out, be aggressive in the trenches, get guys who are maulers, get guys who just beat the piss out of you, and maybe aren't the most friendly guys. They might push some people around, like, not maybe literally, but mentally in the locker room. And you got to find a head coach who's also not going to be your buddy-buddy like Matt Eberflus. I question whether he's able to do that. So if you have a chance to get Ben Johnson and Ray Agnew or somebody else, you know, align those two together, I think it does suck for Caleb Williams. But at this point, I think I'm willing to take that risk.
But does it suck for Caleb? Like, I understand what you're saying, but also simultaneously in my head, I'm thinking you're going to go from dysfunction to potentially functionality. Like, the ability for a head coach, and especially an offensive minded head coach, I understand the Vrabel crew, and I'm not adamantly opposed to Mike Vrabel. Like, I honestly was asked on the Roar of the Lions this week, like, who do you want? And my answer is, I don't know. I really want to sit this one back and to say, I'm there's a reason I'm on a podcast and I'm not making decisions at Hallis Hall. You know, I think I like Ben Johnson a lot. Like, offensively, that dude has been a wonder for Jared Goff. He's been a wonder for that whole offense. I mean, Jameson Williams, right? Did I get his name right, Brennan?
Yeah.
He wasn't great before Ben Johnson. He was average at best, and I think he's getting the best out of players, and so there is that part of me that wants him, but I also just think, like, Caleb just needs a real steady hand. Whether that be the Mike Vrabel, like, hey dude, I'm going to watch out for you, like, I got your back, or that's a Ben Johnson, I'm going to call the best plays that suit you. I don't really know, and I don't know if I really care. I just want someone that knows what the F they're freaking doing, so that this kid, who is clearly the most talented Bears quarterback, I don't know how I can finish that sentence. You know what I mean? Like, at least since Jay Cutler, probably, right? And so,
yeah. Oh, definitely, you know what, definitely.
I mean, and I just think, just don't mess this kid up. Like, he's special. Right. He's doing all of this in the midst of your terrible dysfunction. Like, whatever it's going to do to fix this situation, that's what I want. I just, as we've talked repeatedly, maybe they don't know how to do that.
Yeah. And I guess where I'm coming from is, I just look back at 3 years ago where Ryan Poles was hired, and we were just in a very similar situation looking at Justin Fields saying, okay, everything else sucks, but you have this rookie quarterback who's shown flashes. And I'm not comparing their situations apples to apples, because Caleb has shown way, way more than Justin Fields ever did. He was the number one overall pick. I don't think as many people had questions about his passing ability as people had about Justin Fields back in 2021. But when you get a new GM like that, you just have to know that they're totally bought in on the plan for the quarterback. And Ryan Poles did not put the amount of resources behind Justin Fields that he probably should have in 2022. I understand why, because he was doing a complete teardown and he had to see kind of, you know, what each position looked like. Is he going to spend a lot of money when he truly doesn't know what the team needs without getting into the building first? So from that standpoint, I understood. Now, if you bring in another guy like that, I just want the expectation to be, this is not going to be a teardown again. We are going to continue to build up. We are going to spend resources. We are going to be aggressive, at least when it comes to, you know, finding the right people and, you know, like not just kind of punting on certain things like free agency or just keep trading down and trading down to limit yourself from getting the best athletes out there. It's just a weird like situation that you could get yourself into. Now, I do think of somebody like Ben Johnson, and I just use Agnew as an example because I know they're tied with the Lions. There are other candidates out there, but just using those two, I don't think that would happen because those two would definitely be aligned, whereas it would be a little bit different with somebody else potentially. But yeah, it's a very, very valid concern. I mean, I don't know.
If a new GM comes into this situation, it's vastly different than when Ryan Poles came in. And I will say this, that Ryan Poles has done some good things in terms of budgeting, in terms of acquiring more draft picks, kind of. Again, the Ryan Bates situation doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But I will say that, you know, like thinking about those bloated contracts that Ryan Pace gave out like they were candy on Halloween, you know, like he cleared those things off the books. Now, let's say Agnew does come in here and now it's, well, dude, you've got a top 10 draft pick more than likely. And you've got two really good second round picks, and you've also got a decent amount of cap space in which to spend. So Brendan, as you're saying, they can be competitive in a year or two, something to that effect. You know, you're right. Yeah. It's a very different rebuild, but yet again, we're still in the middle of a rebuild.
Right. And the Pace stuff, I will say, like all of those bloated contracts, they did come when the Bears were in their window to win. I mean, really the bad contracts didn't start coming until I'd say 2020, the year after they had massive expectations and finished with a 500 record. I mean, I think I've talked about this on the podcast. I've tweeted about this before, like the first 3 years of Ryan Pace and Ryan Poles are kind of very similar, like bunch of losing seasons. Not the best track record. There were some hits in there with the draft. There were some free agent hits as well, but there were also some pretty big misses. The biggest thing Poles has going for him is that it looks like he's hitting on the quarterback. And I mean, that's probably going to be his biggest saving grace when it comes to fighting for his job. And look, whether you want to believe it or not, we'll see what happens in the next 3 weeks or so. But Tom Pelissero came out with a report talking about that Ben Johnson is intrigued and is definitely willing to listen to the Bears about their head coaching job. That to me says, hey, come interview me. I want to be a part of this potentially. And he listed Kevin Warren and Ryan Poles as those leading the search. There was no talk about Ryan Poles' job security. And Pelissero's been pretty plugged in. I know a lot of people want to talk about Albert Breer, maybe Ian Rappaport, but listen to Tom Pelissero when he talks, because he's had a lot of things right when it comes to the Bears. So that tells me all of this conversation, it might be all for naught, because Ryan Poles may not be going anywhere after all.
Yeah, you know, again, he's not all terrible, but there's just part of me that it feels like tooth rot. You just gotta get rid of all of it. Just gotta get rid of the badness, which I think if Jack were here, he would say then we just perpetuate the cycle that continues over and over and over and over again. Brendan, there's a lot of other really cool stuff I want to talk about. Before we go any further, though, there's some people that we got to thank. You know, just once we can keep the freaking lights on here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, our guy Jeff Cadwallader. Let me just say this, folks. You know, sometimes if you listen to this podcast, you're like, oh, Dangle, like he gets really excited about things. You know, I'm not being hyperbolic here. I'm being sincere. The Jeff Cadwallader might be one of the best human beings I know. He is the type of guy that will help out anyone, anytime, anywhere, with any need whatsoever. So if you shoot this guy a text, 630-254-4734, or you go to jeffcre.com, yes, you can hear all about the amazing things that SVN Landmark Commercial Real Estate is doing, but he can also give you phenomenal advice about what's going on with the market right now? How are realtors looking at homes? Man, I think I might want to open this small business, but I've got to have a storefront and I don't know what I'm doing. Call him, text him, right? Check out what Jeff has going on. And I guarantee that even if you don't do business, you're going to walk away going, oh my gosh, I'm so glad that I spoke with Jeff Cadwallader. If you do, let him know that the guys at the Bear Down Chicago podcast say hello.
All right, guys, look, it's getting to the new year. You may start thinking about those New Year's resolutions. One of those resolutions might be to change up how you look a little bit. And guess what? You don't have to, you know, do like the gym diet or something like that. Just get a haircut. Just get a new haircut. Get a new hairstyle. That's a good way to change up your appearance in the new year. And if you do, you'll make sure you want to go to Sheridan's Barbershop, which is a cornerstone of the Wheaton community since 1954. It's where old school charm meets modern style. They're located in the heart of historic downtown Wheaton. They've got 6 master barbers ready to keep you looking sharp. Sheridan's is open Monday through Saturday, probably not open on Christmas. So it is easy to fit a fresh cut into your schedule with appointments available online or by phone. So head to sheridansbarbershop.com or call 630-668-0137. Book your appointment today. And then also, if you're in the Naperville area, head over to Hensel's Barbershop, which has been a local favorite since 1966. They offer the same unbeatable service with a crew of 6 skilled barbers. They're open Tuesday through Saturday. Again, probably not on Christmas. Make sure you check with them. But they've got you covered with walk-ins and appointments alike. So whether you need a quick cleanup or a full transformation, Hensel's has you covered. So visit Sheridan's and Hensel's Barbershops, where traditional meets modern.
Man, that was like... Brendan, you've got kind of a more sultry voice than I realized. That was smooth. That was well done.
Oh no, maybe I'm getting sick. Uh-oh. you know how when you start getting phlegmy or whatever, you get the low voice and all that. I mean, my sinus, dude, this week it's just been crazy.
Tis the season, my friend. Tis the season. Yeah. All right, so Brendan, you brought his name up. Let's talk. You're seeing so many Bears fans out there right now saying, just give him whatever he wants. Get him in the building. Give him whatever he wants. This is your guy. Is he your guy?
Yeah, I think he's my guy. I mean, I do like I've been consistent where I have said Joe Brady and Liam Cohen, and I'm not like opposed to Mike Vrabel, but today was a statement. Today was really just a big audition and resume builder for Ben Johnson to the Bears front office inside Soldier Field. He did a fantastic job of not only attacking the Bears defense with like the meat and potatoes, utilizing Jahmyr Gibbs quite a bit, but Ben Johnson likes to get cute, but man, he got cute at the perfect time. And I think what I've dubbed, and I think other people have dubbed too, not taking credit for it, but the stumble Ruski, where at first you thought that Jared Goff falls down or stumbles with the ball coming out of his hands, Jahmyr Gibbs hits the ground, but he regains composure. He finds Sam Laporta down the left sideline for the touchdown. At first glance, I was like, okay, that looked like a botch play, but then it was very clear it was purposeful. And Ryan, you and I were talking before the show, and you didn't realize the connection, which I'm very excited slash sad to share with you. So after the game, after this happened, ESPN reporter Kalen Kaler was talking with Lions players inside the locker room. And yes, it turns out this was absolutely planned. This was a play that Ben Johnson implemented. And it turns out he got the idea from last year's week one game against the Bears and the Packers when Jordan Love fell down and hit Luke Musgrave for like a 30 to 40 yard big gain where he was just wide the hell open. Nobody was there. And so Ben Johnson saw that play. He took note of it. He put it in his playbook. And then he unleashed it against the Bears themselves in the same stadium that that actual botch play took place in. The man is diabolical. And that was a big just moment. He's probably looking up to the McCaskies and saying, yeah, I can do this. Like, I have that memory. I can make plays like that. That's to show you, don't mess this up and bring me in, because I know what I'm doing. I know what I can get out of this rookie quarterback and this team next year. Isn't that wild?
There was part of me that thought, why did you waste that brilliant ass play to go against the Chicago Bears? But you're right. Maybe it was a wave to the McCaskies. No, I didn't think I could get hurt anymore. And then you did that. And then you said that. Thanks, Brendan. I thought we were cool. Okay. So let's talk about Ben Johnson. There are people that are nervous about the first time head coach. I totally understand that. And I get that. It was interesting hearing the Roar of the Lions guys say that they think that Aaron Glenn will be the better head coach, but there's this part of me that, again, because I don't know, I don't make decisions. I'm not a smart enough guy to run an NFL franchise. But just to pair someone like that, who's made Jared Goff into a phenomenal quarterback, just makes me very excited to know that he could do something truly special with someone who's much more talented than that. Right, Caleb Williams is. Just at the start of his career is so much better than where Jared Goff was at the beginning of his career, and having McVay too, like, you can say all you want, Jared Goff's career has been revitalized because the LA Rams were like, no. Yeah. Sure. Take Jared Goff. We don't care. We don't want him. We want Matt Stafford. And the Lions have done an exceptional job with him. And so to think that that's who you could pair with your exceptionally talented rookie quarterback absolutely has me excited. I just don't know, man. I just don't know if the Bears are if he is the right guy, if they'll find a way to screw it up. Do you know?
Well, yeah, I do know. And it's the biggest gamble. I think it's always a gamble because everything has to be just right. And God, when you hear that, you definitely don't think of the Chicago Bears because it's almost never just right in terms of the circumstances, the players, the ownership structure, all of that. So, yes, you are taking a risk in hiring Ben Johnson because you don't know how he fits in as a head coach. I think so. Why did I want to ask, why did the Roar of the Lions guys say Aaron Glenn was going to be better?
To be honest, it was towards the end of the episode, but they just thought that he was the better head coaching candidate in terms of leader. Oh, I almost said, fine, I'm going to say it, leader of men, that whole idea. But honestly, I want Vrabel or an offensive minded guy. I think that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. Which I know he's defensive, but he is a proven, not leader of men. That's not what I'm trying to say. A leader of an organization. Thank you so much. He's a leader of an organization, where, I don't know, Ben Johnson, he may not be the best behind the lectern, but he's not bad at it. And he's got a personality. And the things that I've heard about him on the sideline is that, he's got a really good sense of humor and that he's not afraid to tell people to, shut up and do what you're told, essentially, when it comes down to it.
And I also think he's probably learned quite a bit from Dan Campbell. And I don't think like Dan Campbell's the best coach of all time or anything. He is that true, like, bringing people together, that CEO type. and guys really buy into that, I think Ben Johnson would be able to, you know, take some of that and, you know, make it his own authentic thing. I'm not saying he needs to come in and say, yeah, we're biting kneecaps just like the guy up north over there. That's not going to happen, but I think he can take his own style and bring it to the Bears locker room if he were to get the Bears head coaching job. But, you know, it is a gamble, but it's a gamble you have to take. Like, I just don't think you can go in there and say, yeah, we want Mike Vrabel and pray to God that he hires the right staff and gets the right offensive system in there. I don't think that's the case. Like, you know what you're getting in terms of play calling with Ben Johnson. I think he might be a little bit arrogant, but you need a little bit of arrogance in that position.
Agreed.
But I don't think he's too arrogant like somebody like Josh McDaniels, who, you know, had already won multiple Super Bowls. Or at least I think he was on his way to for his first coaching job. But, you know, somebody who clearly just kind of lashed himself to Bill Belichick and couldn't do things on his own. I don't think you're going to get that with somebody like Johnson. But, you know, the fact that he's been there now a couple of years, he has built connections within that team. There is the possibility that he just brings over a good chunk of that offensive staff too and keeps that continuity. Yeah. I think that would help. So yeah, look, you know, everybody's saying like, hey, I'm worried about a first time head coach. Like, yeah, I understand why, because a lot of the times it doesn't work out. Like, for every Kyle Shanahan, you get a Adam Gase. For every, I don't know, Mike McDaniel, you get, I don't know, name a bad offensive head coach, probably a million of them.
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, Matt Nagy. I still think Matt Nagy was okay.
He's better than Eberflus. Yeah, he's better than Eberflus. Oh, I'll give him that.
So it's a gamble you have to take with that, just for how he's grown up with that organization and how they continue to win. I mean, look, Ben Johnson's part of the Detroit Lions, who could not win jack shit for like decades. And now they are back-to-back, like, double-digit win teams, and they're going to – well, we'll see what happens, but they're on the precipice of winning the NFC North 2 years in a row. Like, yeah, I want the guy that has helped turn around the Detroit Lions, because if he can turn around the Detroit effing Lions, I have to believe he can help turn around the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, is that your Theo? Do you know what I mean? Like, okay, maybe that's a bad comp, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
I understand what you're saying.
There has to be someone that has been a part of a team that no one could fix that is fixed. Do you know what I mean? And I mean, Theo did it with Boston, and he did it with the Cubs, you know? So I don't know. There's something to that. Again, I don't know if he is. This is a question I want to just last one with talking about coaches, because we got to talk some of the players on the roster. If the Bears came at this whole thing with a lot of conviction and they said Mike Vrabel is the guy, how would you feel about that?
I would be whelmed, I guess, because it is the very Bears hire in the sense of, well, granted, I think Mike Vrabel is going to push the envelope on a lot of things. I do wonder about how he would jive with the McCaskies and even Kevin Warren. But if just looking at it, if he came in, I don't think I'd be over the moon about it, but I'd be like, okay, I can work with this. I think, you know, I can buy into what he did during his first few years with Tennessee. I would also have questions on the last few years with Tennessee and just ask, what role did he play in John Robinson trading AJ Brown and getting rid of your best playmaker? What role did he play in hitching his wagon to Ryan Tannehill and just hoping that he could be the guy to take you to the next level? What role did he play in drafting Malik Willis and Will Levis and stuff like that? So, you know, I would be whelmed by it. It's not the worst move you can make, but just knowing what we talked about and some of the other, you know, younger offensive candidates, I just would wonder why you would pass on any of those to bring in a guy who lost the division to the Jacksonville freaking Jaguars when he only had to win like one or two games to finish out the year.
Again, I think maybe I'm talking myself into it, but Ben Johnson plus Caleb Williams, I think, is just, it's seemingly too good to pass up. You know, let's do this, Brendan, because I know this is something that you wanted to talk about at the beginning of the season. Where does Caleb's season's, you know, this special season that he's having rank? So let's just one more time, just really, really, really quick. 3,271 yards, 19 tutties to only 5 interceptions. right? And it's just, again, no one is saying that Caleb Williams is the perfect quarterback, because he is absolutely not. But he's been pretty damn special considering the dumpster fires, plural, that are going on all around him. It was like the defense was Mel Tucker bad today. I threw that out in one of my tweets, and I had a couple people that are like, man, that's saying something. I'm like, I said what I said, right? Mel Tucker bad defense that just couldn't stop anything. And so, you know, thinking about how great Caleb has been, where does this rank? Brendan,
for me, honestly, it might be like the second or third best season of all time, at least in terms of like the modern era. I think Eric Kramer's 95 season is probably the best, because he has the most passing yards that season. I think also the most touchdowns, and I think he only had 10 interceptions. I'm not looking that up right now, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Jay Cutler also had some good seasons. I wouldn't really put the 27 touchdowns and 26 interceptions in there, but you know, he had some good games there with some big fourth quarter comebacks. At this point, I think I'd probably slide Caleb's season right behind Eric Kramer's, because look, Caleb is on pace to become the first Bears quarterback in franchise history to finish with more than 3,000 passing yards, at least 20 touchdowns, and less than 10 interceptions. No Bears quarterback really has had those numbers as well as the interception numbers. I mean, you know, he has four 300-yard games already with still two games to go. He has multiple games of more than 100 passing ratings. I think it's probably like six or seven, maybe not that high, but from like the totality of it, I mean, you talked about it, the constant change with head coach and two offensive coordinators and dealing with a line that continues to have a ton of injuries. And yeah, some of the sacks are on him, but I'm just so impressed with what he's doing as a rookie. He continues to fight, at least, and he continues to, you know, show that he is a special talent. And some of the things that he struggled with early on, like week one and week two, he's getting better at. Like I said, the deep ball passing looked a lot better today. And he just doesn't quit. He's a one tough MF-er. And also the fact that he's playing all of these games too is a rarity in itself. I mean, the Bears have only had, like, since 2009, Jay Cutler's the only player to play 16 games, which was, of course, back then, all of the games during the season. Caleb, by, you know, knock on wood, he's going to play these last two games and be the first, you know, 17 game player. Bears quarterbacks usually don't even stay healthy enough to put up numbers like this. So staying healthy and being available, I think, is an achievement in itself. So I'll say top two right now, and we'll see what happens at the end of the season.
I'm looking at the numbers right now, Brendan. I'm going to read these off for everybody here in just a second. It's a little bit closer than what I expected. So to what you were just talking about, he started 16 games. He passed for 3,838 yards, 29 touchdowns. That's pretty awesome, man. And then you're right, 10 interceptions right on the dot, 60.3% completion. And so to where Caleb is right now, you know, at 15 games, it's pretty awesome, man. He's missing open receivers. He's taking sacks. Sure. But people that are just like, they're just looking for every single excuse that they can and ignoring the unbelievable, like, second head coach, third offensive coordinator. They just, if that's not in your argument, then like you're hating on this kid for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing stuff that, like, you know, he's already, we don't need to say his name again, but I'll just say it once. He's doing stuff that Justin Fields couldn't do in his third year. He's doing things that Mitchell Trubisky flirted with in his second year, but never really got to that sustained level. I mean, you know, rookie quarterbacks, I think we do have the expectation that they're supposed to hit the ground running and they're supposed to put up 4,000 yards and 27 touchdowns, like guys like Justin Herbert and CJ Stroud. And, you know, that's just not reality. I mean, I think we're seeing a really good rookie class this year. And if you want to compare Caleb to Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels and Drake May, like that's fine. You know, maybe, yeah, those guys are, you know, in different aspects outperforming him. And, you know, at least in some areas this year, but just looking at it from the guy that the Bears got to the situation, like we mentioned, I mean, he's doing pretty damn good. And if this is the floor, I'm really excited for the future and just how he continues to develop and, you know, not make the same mistake twice and, you know, continue to get more comfortable. I think he talked about this week, like, this is going to help me in the future. I feel good about, like, yeah, this sucks. Obviously, it's not like a situation I want to be in, but he's encouraged that he can grow from it. And I truly believe him, like, when he says that. I think he has that type of mentality.
So again, our friend Artificial Opticality, Caleb is tied for second with least amount of interceptions for rookies that started at least 15 games in history. He's dropping his eyes. He's missing some open receivers. No one is saying that he's perfect, but I think about the way that you watch Mitch Trubisky be unable to view the whole field. And at times, yeah, like when they cut the field in half, you think Mitch could do some really good things. He was far more mobile than people gave him credit for. And sometimes he could do enough to win you games, right? But there were definitely flaws in his games. Just his downfield passing, just minus the one Tampa Bay game where he threw six tutties. It was just, he just couldn't get it done. You know, Justin Fields, as much as I loved Justin Fields, he was a good playmaker. He was never the quarterback that the Bears needed him to be. And I know DJ Moore doesn't necessarily love that because he's not just being fed the ball on every single play, but Caleb spreading the ball around is going to be so beneficial for this offense down the road, right? That in a way that neither one of those guys could do in any way, shape, or form. And with that being said, Brennan, I don't want to talk about two quarterbacks that are not on the Bears roster anymore. I'm so excited that Caleb is here and he's the quarterback. Let's talk about a guy that's got to protect him. What are you going to do at Braxton Jones? I just, you never want to see players get hurt. Never, 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 never. And it's, you know, I had this sinking feeling in my stomach that, oh my gosh, Braxton Jones he's concussed again and they brought him back too soon. You know, I don't know if this is better or worse, but either way, it's terrible to see hear the air cast come out. You know, that's never a good thing for a player. And so what do you do with this guy?
Well, we don't know what it is yet. When he went down, and you could clearly see the play that went down, it was the fourth down play to Roma Dunze, and he just got swallowed up. Somebody rolled on him, and he went down really awkwardly. It was rough to watch. Couple people like Mason West, who writes and does stuff for When You See the Gridiron, he's speculating that it could be a patella tendon rupture for him. He estimates that obviously it would be season ending. And he says potentially 6 to 12 months to return to sport. So you're looking at a possibility, at least if this is true, of Braxton Jones not even playing in 2025. And now there were questions from some people about Braxton Jones going into 2025. Like, is he the guy to be the left tackle? We talked about it this past week that I think no matter what, he is a valuable piece on that offensive line. You want to hang on to him. But now you have a potential like immediate need at left tackle if he's not going to be able to go. So, and that's really tough for him too, because he's going into a contract near next year. You would have to make a decision on him, but it now makes offensive line that much more of a concern and a priority for the Bears to address, whether it's free agency, the draft, or both. And you could be looking at that first round pick, looking at somebody like Kelvin Banks of Texas, who, you know, is one of the better tackle prospects. And if you wanted somebody like Mason Graham or, you know, another defensive lineman, Michael Williams from Georgia, you may be forced to do something with the offensive line again. So it really sucks. Braxton, I think he's better than he gets credit for, honestly. And if you're with him, or if you were without him next year, that's definitely a loss, no matter how you look at it.
I just keep thinking about, you know, Jack has talked about this, I think you've talked about this, is you to pass up on a good offensive lineman, it's you can't do it in the NFL, but then if Braxton Jones isn't around, you need four new starters on the offensive line.
Yeah, just potentially.
I mean, you already need three. You probably, right? Tev Jenkins maybe could stay there at right guard, maybe. But if they said that they found a really great upgrade, I would say, Tevin, thank you so much for your time, and I really appreciate all you did for the city of Chicago, fighting defensive linemen after they beat up on your quarterback after the whistle, whatever it might be, you know, run blocking. Like, when he's healthy, we've talked about that he's been so good, but I mean, they really need three starters and now four. Like, you can't do that in one off season, man. It's just not four good ones anyway. And so, you know, I'd like to see them somehow find a way to get him back. But again, you know, we gotta see how bad this injury is. And I don't know where we go from here.
Well, and with Tevin Jenkins too, he also left. I mean, he was dealing with a calf injury. He left and was considered doubtful to return. He didn't return. Caleb Williams talked about that he was walking around afterwards, which is good. But, you know, Courtney Cronin during pregame, I was listening to ESPN 1000 this morning, and she said that Bears fans should give Tevin Jenkins, a lot of credit for playing through a ton of injuries. He's been hurt a lot this year. And I'm like, okay, yeah, he deserves credit for doing that. But if he's also playing through a ton of injuries, like, that does not bode well for his future. And so do you really want to, you know, hand over a 3 or 4 year deal and millions of dollars guaranteed to a guy that, even if he is available on the field, that he's not 100%, and that hampers your offensive line. Now you have to find a replacement for him too. So I get both sides of potentially bringing him back or not, but I just have a lot of concerns about injuries, and I know you do too.
It's just, again, going back to the Ryan Poles conversation, trusting a guy that cannot evaluate offensive line talent in responsible for getting almost an entirely new offensive line, like, that just, it just doesn't sit well with me in any way, shape, or form. Another one that I know that you really wanted to talk about, and I'm shocked that I didn't think about this one earlier. This is a really good conversation to have. There's just a couple quick things I want to say. You know, thinking about the beginning of the season, Keenan Allen was a ghost, didn't exist on this team, and clearly has become Caleb Williams' favorite target. The thing that I've been thinking about is that the chemistry we were hoping that Caleb Williams and DJ Moore would have has changed to Keenan Allen. Now, obviously, I think there's something special brewing between Caleb and Roma Dunze when Roma Dunze doesn't turn the ball over. You know, he's still a rookie. He's still learning as well. But I just, man, this can you let Keenan Allen walk away because he's been such a security blanket for Caleb Williams? I don't know, man. Like, this is one I keep bouncing back and forth on big time.
I do too. And I, you know, conventional wisdom says to let him go because you do already have two younger guys in the system. I think the wide receiver room gets crowded at times and you're trying to find roles for all three of those players. And clearly, like, you know, Keenan Allen is the most targeted wide receiver the last few weeks. I mean, double digit targets today, double digit targets last week against Minnesota. He also keeps feasting on NFC North teams, man. Like, it's kind of, you kind of hate to lose that because he just keeps producing. He had 141 yards today, one touchdown, his first 100 yard game as a Bear. Do you know the last time he had that many yards, like 140 yards or more, Ryan?
Dude, has he ever had that many? Because I know he's like, yeah. Okay. More than 5 years ago?
No, it's not that long ago. It was actually last year against the Lions. So I'm telling you, man. Telling you. Like, I do like that. But look, he is a security. He's not only a security blanket. He still shows that he can be a playmaker. I thought the ability to just juke Terrion Arnold out of his cleats for that first touchdown was really good. He knows how to find the soft spots in the defense. The question is, how much does he want? Are you going to commit multi-years to him? I don't know. Does he want to come back here? He said multiple times that he would want to come back to Chicago, or he would want to go back to LA. Maybe I feel like LA would probably win out in that situation if they would have him. But look, if all things were equal, I would say absolutely bring him back because there is that connection with him and Will and Caleb. But just knowing what other needs are on the roster, I can totally understand that they let him go and they prioritize building those trenches and really allowing guys like Rome and Moore to then take over as those top two wide receiver targets. I do like that there still is trust being built between those two guys. One thing I was going to mention before when talking about Caleb's performance, how about the ballsy throw to Rome down the field on fourth down where he just puts it up and says, F it, Rome's up there somewhere. Like that is something you want to see from your rookies, rookie quarterback and rookie wide receiver. But I'll never say no to playmakers. Like it would be nice to find an offensive mind like Ben Johnson who can make both Keenan Allen or at least make Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, and DJ Moore work. But I don't know where it's going to fall on the priority list, man. I mean, I'm with you. I go back and forth on it.
It's been so difficult too because he's had so many drops this season. Does he have two drop touchdowns this season? I think I know one that was real early on. It might have even been week one to something along those lines. And it just, I think it was last week he had four or five drops, but then he makes catches today that you just go, damn, that dude, you like, there's a reason he's been playing in the league as long as he has. He just was special at times. And again, that tutty to just down the right side of the field was special. It was so, so good on so many different levels. And I just, I guess I would say if they don't re-sign him, I will understand why, but I think there's a little part of me that just would be just a little bit worried. I said this to Jack a couple weeks ago and I could be way off base. You know, sometimes Brennan, you just get the spidey senses tingling a little bit. You don't necessarily know what it is. I just have this very funny feeling that either Jalen Johnson or DJ Moore will not be a Chicago Bear next season. I don't know if someone comes in and trades because they can get so much for them or just because DJ, who is seemingly incredibly unhappy here, as he was unhappy in Carolina as well. He was just an unhappy person. I don't know. But I don't know why. Again, it's not based in fact in any way, shape or form, but I just get this funny feeling that one of those two dudes is going to be gone next season.
That's very interesting. It's not like a wild take or anything because, I mean, both guys have been, especially Jalen. I know DJ Moore says a lot of things that he probably shouldn't say or, you know, the body language stuff. But Jalen's just been talking about how he's just beaten down by all of this losing. And it really feels like he's going through it. And, you know, guys like Cole Kmet too. I don't think Cole Kmet would ever request a trade, but he's feeling it. I know he's pissed off about like no more moral victories and all of that jazz. Boy. Yeah. I can't say no. I can't say definitive no that like both guys, you know, will definitely be here because I think there is a world where something like that happens. I mean, and I could see one of them at the very least requesting a trade. We'll see if anything like that happens, but it's already happened once with Jalen Johnson. Very interesting.
If DJ goes, then I think priority number one is re-signing Keenan Allen. And then, you know, your 1-2 punch is him and Rome, which I think, you know, again, I don't, there's never a shortage of playmakers. And a coach that maybe can utilize them again. This is no basis in fact. It's just a gut feeling that I have. Every once in a while I get one and I'll say something about it. A lot of times it's wrong, but every once in a while I do get things right. So yeah. Brendan, this has been a good one. What have we missed? What whether it be about the game or just anything that we missed that we need to be chatting about?
Yeah. I'm going to go through my notes real quickly. Let's see what we got. Keenan Allen, speaking of him, before we kind of move off of him, He's actually two touchdowns away from setting his personal record of touchdowns in a season. So he has 7 right now. His career high is 8. So I don't think if you had said before the season, like, hey, Keenan Allen might set a new record for touchdowns in this Chicago Bears offense, I mean, I think everybody would be saying, great, like, how many means the Bears might be doing really well, huh? Like, Keenan Allen's really contributing. It's like, no, maybe not that much.
No, not so well. Honestly, now thinking about it, so they got Seattle on Thursday and then Green Bay on the following Sunday. You could absolutely see that. You could see that happening, and I mean, I'd be kind of surprised if he doesn't at least tie it then, because he only needs one more, as you said, to tie it, right?
Right, exactly. So, okay. I know, I wouldn't be either. Let's see. You know what, the regression, I'm not saying that, like we talked about earlier, Matt Eberflus, it didn't deserve to be fired, because he absolutely did, but my God, the regression after that with Thomas Brown. I mean, the Bears, just their average margin of loss is much, much bigger. I don't know the exact numbers, but I was just thinking about this. It's much bigger now under Brown than it was under Eberflus, especially this year. So just it really sucks that, like, not only did the Bears not get the interim coaching bump, but, like, it has gotten drastically worse, something that I don't think many of us saw coming, because you really thought, like, it couldn't get worse than what we had seen.
He made the first decision today that I was actually upset by and dumbfounded. I tweeted about it twice because I still couldn't believe it. He kicked a field goal. Your season is 4th and 6. Yeah, sure. It's not a surefire thing, but Caleb looks good. Rome looks good. You got some momentum going. You kicked a field goal. And so Caleb is furious going over to the sideline, and Tom's like, we're going to kick a field goal. What are you doing? Your season is over. You have nothing to lose. No Bears fan, no member of the media is going to show up the next day like, you should have kicked the field goal there. Go for the points, man. Like, even if Caleb had thrown an interception and broken that streak, like, I don't care. I don't think Caleb cares. Like, what were you thinking? That was that was Eberflus bad. That was Eberflus' decision bad.
Well, and he had been aggressive the earlier drive too. And I'm like, you know, because I said the same thing. I'm like, go for it. And they did. I'm like, yes. And then after, again, on the fourth down, I'm like, go for it again. And I'm just like, what the hell? Like, why not? I'm pretty sure they kicked a field goal to make a 3-score game a 3-score game. Like, and he said after the game, like, well, we just want to get points out of that. Like, you know, screw it. Let your quarterback cook, man. That's the only goddamn thing that matters right now.
You're playing for nothing. Maybe somehow to ruin the Lions' season, which clearly didn't happen. And you know what? They didn't score it again. That's fine. But dude, if it was 14 instead of 17 and they had gone for it and maybe had a cool play or something, I'm not mad about that. Hey, you made the right call in that decision. I just the defense couldn't stop anything, and they're just the Lions are moving up and down the field, and you kicked a field goal. Like, Thomas Brown, like, that's going to be one you're going to have to explain in your next job interview. I don't understand that at all.
Another bad game from Tyrique Stevenson. Just absolutely brutal. They knew what they were doing when they were just targeting him. Big gains from Jameson Williams. He was lost. Of course, he and Williams are fighting, and it drew a penalty flag on Williams, and the Bears still couldn't do anything with it. That's just the Bears' way. Let's see. You know what? I know you like doing this. You want to, you know, crap on the announcers for a second?
Yes, I do.
Man, we got the Jonathan Vilma and Kenny Albert special again today, because you always know that they're going to mess something up, and they were just totally, you know, vintage Kenny Albert, Jonathan Vilma. Vilma's calling guys the wrong names. saying that Scott Daly's the Lions long snapper. No, he's the Bears long snapper. That was last year. Calling Jahmyr Gibbs Jamar. They called Jack Fox John Fox. So just, you know, a bunch of mispronunciations and very just interesting commentary as always. You never know what you're going to get with those two. So at least it makes it interesting.
It's funny too, is like you see the tweets of people like saying, wow, like woof, you're doing a terrible job. And a couple of other people that are like, this is awesome. They're great at what they do. And you're kind of like looking around. Is this real life? Is this for real? Just quick
broadcast.
I know. Right. Just a really quick on the Jahmyr Gibbs. That dude is a weapon. And I think I made fun of Lions when they drafted him. The guy he's special. He's a playmaker, like all props to him. But I'm just going to just one little thing. It took you four tries on the 1 yard line against legitimately over the last couple of weeks, one of the worst defenses in the entire league. And you're showboating in the end zone. That's one where you hand the ball to the ref and you go, okay, I scored a touchdown. I'm excited. Instead, he's got a dance on the Bears goalposts. Like that was a decision that he made. Sorry. I don't want to.
That doesn't bother me. I don't know why it doesn't. Maybe because I'm just, as an objective football fan, I just want running or ball carriers to not drop the ball before they reach the goal line. After that, they can do whatever the hell they want. And I know it would have been great to see Gibbs drop it, but I'm like, it just doesn't faze me. I don't know. I'm like, you can dance. You did your thing. But to what, you know, talking about Ben Johnson not getting cute when it matters, he just run it up the gut, like just continue to bulldoze your way until you get your way. That just shows that, you know, he can get cute, but he also can just lean on the meat and potatoes when it matters.
No doubt. Again, Brendan, just really quick. He is a phenomenal player.
Froze for a second. Last thing I'll say, my Jared Goff propaganda. Oh man, we're delayed. That stinks. I don't know what happened.
Six.
Jared Goff. Thing, my Jared Goff propaganda tanked today because I kept saying that he was bad in the cold and he showed he was bad in the cold. I said he had a 64.9 passer rating from like December and January games when the temperature was under 45 degrees. And man, that guy shut me the hell up. He was phenomenal today, and I have to eat a lot of crow. He finally learned how to play in the cold. Congratulations, Jared Goff, who I think he was wearing a glove the whole time. That's not real quarterbacking.
I think I put that on our tweet about did the Bears have any chance of getting the upset, and it was upset, ? And then I think the other one was like Jared Goff in December. That didn't work. Anything else that you got that we missed? Cause I think I just have one.
Nope.
Third and 17 again. You're like third and 17. We're getting off the field. Nope. Let's give them 18 yards. It's been a difficult season to be a Bears fan. It's been a very difficult season to be a Bears fan that also is a content creator to get excited about this team. And it just woof, absolute and utter woof. What a terrible, just terrible, terrible effort from this defense.
Yeah, along those same lines, I think there was a sequence where the Bears had like second and five or first and five because of a Lions penalty, and it turned out to be like fourth and 20. Like only the Bears could just do that and go backwards.
Only the Bears. It's just unbelievable. Brendan, I think that's anything, unless there's any questions or anything that you want to throw out. Otherwise, I think this has been a phenomenal episode, and we've only got two regular season episodes left. It's crazy, man.
I know. I want to respond to this real quickly. You can't say not real quarterbacking about Jared Goff wearing a glove. Well, I just want to be mad, okay? Just let me be mad that my propaganda was thrown out the window. Okay, Christian, thank you for watching, but I want to be mad.
You know what's interesting, and I'm not saying Christian's not one of the ones, or, you know, he might be an awesome Lions fan, no idea, or maybe he's a Bear, I don't know, whatever. I just, because the Lions were so bad for so long, a lot of their fans don't know how to handle success. And just some of the angry tirades over just simple, Lions fans, go enjoy your victory. You earned it. And, you know, you beat up a beat up football team. Good for you guys. I'm not telling fans how to fan. I'm just saying that they're in my own personal opinion, I've watched a couple Lions fans just not know how to handle success. Let's get out of here, buddy. Let's get to shout outs. Brendan, shout outs that you got.
All right. A couple shout outs here. First one goes to my guy, Nick Andrevic at Nicky Newport. It's his birthday. It was his birthday yesterday. He went to the Bears game. Unfortunately, saw a loss, but, you know, just hope he had a great birthday. Hope he had a great time out there. Also to Steven Nagashi, I joined him on Friday night for a Bears podcast. We were trying to get together at some point, and finally we were able to chat about kind of the future, similar stuff we were talking about today. So shout out to Steven. It was great to finally connect with him. And then just a general shout out to all of the people affected at CHGO from the layoffs this past week. Unfortunately, it was a very tough week, and I know there was a lot of mean things said as well. You know, unfortunately, people coming at the content creators and the people actually on air, that's not fair. But also I want to think of the people that were, you know, whose personal lives were affected. It's, you know, sports media is a very tough business. It's one of the reasons why I will not ever do this full time. It's just something that, you know, I don't like the volatility of it. I think it's really unfortunate that a lot of the people who really helped get CHGO off the ground by being like the day one hires, a few of them had to get laid off, you know, a week before Christmas. I mean, understand business is business. It just really stinks to see, especially for a company that, you know, really was growing and growing fast. So I just, you know, want to say I'm thinking of the people whose lives were affected by that, and also the people who continue to still work there, who have to change plans now from their different shows and lost, you know, coworkers who became friends. And, you know, again, to people who just keep, like, you know, coming at the creators, just don't do that. Like, they're not the ones who made the decision. That's not fair to them. You're putting them in a bad spot. So just a little PSA out there. But anyway, just shout out to everybody involved with that. It stinks to see, and hopefully everybody lands on their feet with a new venture, and everybody can continue to prosper as much as possible.
That's incredibly well said. Yeah, you're right. It just stinks. There are so many Bears content creators out there. I know that all those CHGO people worked exceptionally hard at what they did. And so, yeah, Brendan, that's incredibly well said. I've got two quick shout outs. The first one is going to go to the Roar of the Lions. Thank you so much for continuing our relationship. Again, we didn't have you on this week's post-game episode, but that's because it's the middle of the night and y'all need to be sleeping after that phenomenal victory that you had. So just go and sleep well after that, so you guys have that. But we'll have you on in the off season. And then the second one goes to our guy, Jack Wright. Jack and I had we had lunch. You know, it's funny because just with, you know, me with little kids and everything else, we don't really get to line things up very much. And so we got a chance to go out, and I just, reminded why, Jack is a very good friend of mine. And I'm so glad that we get to do this with Jack. He's so, so good at what he does. And so Jack, love you, buddy. And, glad you're part of the show. Brendan, it's been a fun one, dude. It's nice chatting football with you, bud. It's nice chatting football with you. I wish we had a football team that didn't suck so bad.
Hey, we can adopt a UFL team in the spring. That'd be fun.
Yeah, where do you go? Stallions? I've been to Alabama. I'll pass on that. I'll pass. Just, you know, sorry, there's like three Bears fans that are in Alabama. Hey, Dangle, what'd you say? Like, sorry about that. sorry about that.
That was good.
I'm sorry.
We got all now. Now we'll start the impression thing that we were talking about last week.
Yeah, I just gonna say all the people in the South just right now that are Bears fans are just gonna be so angry. We love you. Thank you for hanging out with the Bear Down Chicago podcast. Listen, it's really fun. It's really fun to make Bears content. Even when the Bears are terrible, and to interact with some of you wonderful, wonderful people, you can help us out. You can hit like, you can hit subscribe, hit us with a 5-star review wherever you are listening or watching this podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like and throw some comments in there. Let us know how we're doing, how things are going. Cause we genuinely appreciate all that stuff. To artificial opticality. Thanks, guys. Always great to hear from you all. Makes it bearable. Like, seriously, thank you so much for hanging out with us for this hour and 20 minutes that we've been talking about Bears. For all of us here at the Bears, excuse me, let me try that again. For all of us here at the Bear Down Chicago podcast, that was way harder than it should have been. We just want to say thank you. Thank you for hanging out with us. So that's Logan Bradley, Brendan Chigrou, Jack Wright, Patrick Sheldon, Cam Ellis. I am Ryan Dengel, folks. Thank you so much. And as always, Bear Down, Chicago.
Merry Christmas.